Behave yourself.
I'm trying to.
We want you to enjoy the service. Have you got one for us, Norman? Are you going to let it slide?
355.
Did we do that? Did I mark that one out?
Yeah.
I did. Got it. Okay. What a friend we have in Jesus. That'll do. Let's begin with a word of prayer then. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day and for the life and health and strength that you've given us, for enabling Pat and Steve to be here. I just thank you for that. Frank as well. Goodness, we're only waiting on Esther for a full house, and I pray you, Lord, please, that you put your good hand upon her this evening. Just bless our time together, Lord, and the lifting up of your praises. Lord, we're just really glad to be alive, to be saved. To be on our way to heaven, no matter what comes our way, we know that our home is in heaven. And we're thankful for that, Lord. I pray that you'd be one of our number. You just walk up and down the hall this evening, and not just ours, but halls across the world that have opened the King James and are preaching the full counsel of your word, Lord. Please bless and keep and edify and strengthen and comfort and give wisdom to, Lord. Father, please watch over us and keep us. Please, I pray you too, Lord, for those folks that were involved in the car accident in Grantia. For those that are struggling, Lord, I pray that you would just open their eyes to the solutions that you have. And Lord, be with our brothers and sisters' churches across the world. Just minister and be there as well, Lord, and help each one of us. Thank you for loving us, and Lord, for your word, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and most importantly, for your Son. We just thank you for everything. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. All right. Hymn number 185 will be our opening hymn, and we'll remain seated as we sing for my Savior's love. 185. Try putting the actual hymn number in instead of the book number.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the
I marvelous, I wonder.
good to hear you singing. It's good to have you in the back there. It's like playing rugby and having the strong back row there.
This is a good singer.
Yes, indeed. That's what I mean. 355. We'll do 355 next. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'll just remain seated for that one. Amen. 3, 5, 5. What a friend we have in Jesus. Take your Bibles out and follow along with Norman as he comes reading for us.
This evening's reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 36. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed and setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Amen.
Thank you, sir. And thank you, Norman. Thank you, Steve, for the suggestions. Just want to draw your attention, first of all, to the little pink prayer list this evening. Oh, and I better give you that too, just when I remember. Right, you can look back now. And my apologies. Amen. If you ever want something delivered on time, give it to Monica. No money in it, Steve. I already checked. It's up here. Amen. I just want to, please do make sure that you get one of those wee pink prayer lists, and please do run your eye over it if you would. There are important prayer requests on it. Every single one of them is important for a reason. One that is not there is obviously for whomever was involved in the car crash down at the Grantshire roundabout. So whenever you're saying your prayers, please do spare a word or two for those souls. We don't know who they are, but I know a man who does, and he is more than able to reach down from heaven and speak to his soul and save his soul. I also want to leave these here from the Christian Institute. These are to do with free speech. These are to do with the LGBT movement and so much more, things that are, goodness, not strangely being introduced and being reinforced and forced into everyday, well, law and everyday, just everyday, and our media everywhere trying to make us think that these things are okay. And that's really what many of these souls want. This is something to do with, is that trans free speech update? I'm assuming that's to do with the transgender movement. And that is, goodness, this is being recorded for being put on the internet in a number of different places. But if anybody else turned up at a doctor and said, "Doctor, I have a perfectly healthy hand, but I don't want it and I shouldn't have it, would you cut it off?" The doctor would not take him up to Altna Galvin and whip that hand off. They'd take him to Grantia and put them in the mental ward. So not allowed to say that transgenderism is a mental illness. Neither are you allowed to say that any of these other things, believing things that are not so, makes you mentally ill. It doesn't make everybody else intolerant. So please do have a look at those. They'll eventually go up on the wall, but they're there. If you want to even take them home and have a read at them at your leisure, please do that. Just bring them back again and let other folks have a look at them as well. We do support the Christian Institute, and I can almost certainly guarantee you, in the next few years, one of two things is going to happen. They are going to be put out of business, or they are going to get an awful lot of trade. So please do pray for them. We have gotten to the point where we need to be serious about our prayers. All those there. I'm not saying, would you please pray for that once a week? You need to pray for that at least once a week. Once a day would be nice. It'd take you all of 5 minutes to read all of those out to God. You don't have to remember them all. Just read them out. The Lord knows. You need to be praying for the people that are mentioned on these things and the events mentioned on these things. How do we thought earlier on during the week? Oh, and then we'll go on to our prayer requests. But there are thousands and probably tens of thousands of little businesses that are never going to open again because of this. And I am sure there's much grant money and much money from the government floating about at the moment. But if all of those, even a few hundred at a time businesses, put £20 a week, got together in a group and put £20 a week into a pot and started, got those businesses started up again, I could guarantee you those businesses could get started up again. The thing about it is, the devil has done such a good job on making people selfish and self-centered. Nobody will put their hand in their pocket for anybody else, and nobody will roll their sleeves up for anybody else. So if you're not fit, don't worry about it. Just turn up at the throne of grace and mention my name. If you can't think of anything to pray about, I need your prayers. But if you can help, help. If all you can do is pray, then pray. But you need to be praying. If you are not praying, if you come to Bethel and you take one of those and you claim to be a son of, or daughter of the King of Kings and you are not mentioning the names that are mentioned in this, you're sinning. That is a sin for you. And New Testament says men ought always to pray and not to faint. Mm-hmm. Old Testament says, Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin in ceasing to pray for you. So Old and New Testament is a solid doctrine, pray. And there's some things we don't have the details on. There are private prayer requests. I've already got myself and Monica, Pat and Steve, Will and Norman. Is there anybody else that has a private prayer request that they want us just to call out the Lord's name that we haven't put down here? The only names, and I'm not putting you under any pressure, if you don't have any right now, that's fine, is Esther and Ling. If you have one, Ling. I'm going to put Esther's down in absentia, and we will just pray for those. For Monica's private prayer request, for Mark's, for Steve's, for Pat's. We need to pray. Christy's got a bit of juggling coming up in the next 6 to 8 weeks. 8 weeks, is it? 9 weeks. So please do pray for him. He is endeavouring to, this is going to sound odd, but to meet and marry his wife. His wife-to-be over the next few weeks. It's very difficult seeing as she's on the far side of the world or a different continent, but please do pray for him. He's a few logistical challenges to overcome. Monica and I, we want to thank you for all of your prayers and thank you for all of your notes on Facebook, WhatsApp, and bog standard 2G text or 3G text and your support this past little while. I was praying hard and our prayers were rewarded with a phone call at 9:45 to say, I'm all good, I can go home, instead of come back at 1:00 because I've got lots more eye surgery to do, and I'm glad. Thank you very much for your prayers. We're very glad of that. So please accept our thanks there. Was there something else I was supposed to say? Nope, I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to add to this? Anything else you can think of?
No. Hello, Dave, I'm really happy.
Yep.
Thanks to the Lord that she's out of intensive care. She is breathing on her own at the moment. However, she's got a long way to go. She's both pelvises are broke. She's multiple ribs and arms breakages. And some other breakages that I've forgotten about. But she's only, if you knew her and you'd be, you wouldn't know what I'm saying, that it's really dire for her.
Yeah.
She's such a weak dog.
Goodness, you just never know what a day is going to bring. We started the day with the possibility of another surgery and 2 weeks of 2 weeks of recuperation. And we ended the day with Monica being here and Pat and Steve being here. And Frank. Glad to have Frank here as well. So there's a lot going on. But we're thankful for it. We're thankful for it. All right. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll sing another song. You lead us, Christy, please.
Lord, we're thankful for today, for your goodness, Lord, for all the blessings, Lord, for the privilege of prayer, Lord. We're thankful most of all, Lord, for the amazing grace you bestowed upon us, Lord, and the work of Christ on the cross, Lord, and for saving our souls. Be with our absent brethren, Lord, I pray that you protect them, Lord, just minister to their needs this hour. We protect them from any winds that the devil's about to fire at them, Lord, in the days ahead. Lord, be with us, ministry, heart open hearts here amongst us, Lord. Bless the preacher as he guides and leads in the service, Lord, that you would bless every word and every thought, Lord. Just give wisdom from above, we pray, and Lord, needs to be met here amongst us, that we would go from this place strengthened, Lord, and Lord, with a direction and a purpose about each step that we take. Lord, accomplish your will in this land, drive the spirit of suicide far from it, Lord. We pray for opposition to the abortion laws, Lord, that they're trying to enforce here as well. Remember missionaries, Lord, bless them, provide their needs, Lord. Make their feet fruitful, we pray, plenteous as well. And Lord, just save all souls. Be with Israel, protect her, Lord, this time as well. Continue to use her, Lord, as a thermostat of how things are in the world and how close we are to your return. Help us, Lord, help us keep our eyes open, Lord, looking always, Lord, and watching, as you said, watch and pray. Lord, we love you and need you and bless this service in Jesus' name.
Amen. Just a wee note before we continue on singing. I don't think we actually realize how privileged we are to be able to be here tonight. You might think, you might have been grinding your teeth coming out the door at having to be here. But in the South, the church services are very restricted. And over in Canada, in fact, I think it's pretty much illegal to turn up at church. And over in Canada, a squad of 5 or 6 armed policemen walked into a Christian church and tried to close it down, and the pastor chased them, but they came into a church, armed policemen came into a church, and a pastor, a Polish pastor that had actually suffered under the communist regime, he saw the same thing happening in his own country, and he escaped to what he thought was the free world, and he had to chase armed policemen out of his church. So remember that you're privileged, but don't ever take your privilege for granted. It can disappear very, very quickly. It requires each and every one of us to keep our eyes on the Lord and do what needs to be done. Amen. Thank you for your prayers, Christy. We'll do 333 whilst our voices are broken in and practiced. 333, this is a relatively new one. It's Give Me Jesus. I don't think we need the... Do we need to do an intro verse again, or will we just go... We'll just go for verses. Give Me Jesus. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Take the word. Oh, the land. face, my Lord, I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption. Pledge of endless life above.
Amen. 187. 187. You know what? I think we've sung this so many times, and the children in Sunday school sang this so many times. We shouldn't even have to open the books. I'll just keep one here to keep it right now. Amen. Jesus loves me. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. Amen. If you're able.
Jesus loves me, thinks I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let His little child come. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me. I will henceforth live for Thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. If you'd like to take your Bibles out now and turn to Genesis 47 with me, we're going to be reading from verse 13 to 27. Genesis 47, verse 13 through 27. I'd just like to spend a little bit of time this evening on the subject of Pharaoh's world. Pharaoh's world. Amen. Glad to have everybody here. This is like quite literally an answer to prayer. This is the most people I have seen in church for such a long time. So, amen. Amen. We missed that too.
What's that?
Congregation speaking back. That's a good thing. Amen. Genesis 47. Beginning at verse number 13. There was no bread in the land, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when money failed in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, "Give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence, for the money faileth?" Joseph said, "Give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle if money fail." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, And Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses and for flocks and for the cattle of the herds and for asses. And he fed them with bread for all their cattle for that year. And when that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, "We will not hide it from my lord how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle, and there is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh. And give us seed, that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate." And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them, so the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the borders of Egypt even to the other end thereof. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion, which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their lands. Then Joseph said unto the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day in your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for food for your little ones." And they said, "Thou hast saved our lives. Let us find grace in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's servants." And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. Amen. That is our text and our reading for this evening. I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of Pharaoh's world. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, again for the freedom that we have to meet together around your word. And I pray you, Lord, as well for brothers and sisters across the world, but those that we know, for Brother Stan and the folks in Bangor, Lord, for Brother Asquith and Brother Hayne and Brother Seely and Brother Fox and Brother Bissett, Lord, and Brother Cosgrave and many, many more names, Lord, of men that have set their own aspirations and ambitions aside to serve you in the pulpit. And for all of those, Lord, that are serving in foreign lands, I pray you, Lord, please, that you would be with them and strengthen them and keep them. Please, Lord, minister to us through the preaching and teaching of your word, through the reading and the prayers and the lifting up of the praises. Please work in each one of our hearts. Please preserve our brethren, even in those countries, Lord, that really do hate you, Lord. And Father, I pray you most of all that souls would be saved before it's everlasting too late. We love you and thank you. We pray for this, Lord, and for our private prayer requests, for those that were involved in the Grantia crash, for that wee girl Ellie Powley, Lord, for an opportunity to meet you and to be saved. And Lord, for those that we know, loved ones and friends and neighbours that don't yet know you as Saviour, please save their souls too. We leave this all at your feet, Lord, and pray that you would grant these prayer requests according to your will. Amen. Amen. Just in case you don't know of the background of this story, this is the account of the Lord using Egypt to create, I was going to say a safe space, but that sounds very, very leftish and progressive. But the Lord used Egypt and at the height of its greatness to be a safe harbor for the children of Israel during the great famine that lasted for 7 years. Even though, and Joseph's name, as you see, is mentioned quite a few times in this portion of God's word, even though Joseph's own brothers plotted at one point to kill him and then to sell him as a slave to traveling slavers, the Lord still used him to save not just his family, but all the children of Israel. Just like the word of God was the stone which the builders rejected and became the head of the corner for us, that being Jesus Christ, of course, Joseph was the son which the brothers rejected that eventually became the savior of the children of Israel. Joseph is referred to many times as an example of Jesus Christ written in the history of the Egyptians and, of course, the children of Israel. He was sold as a slave again and bought by a chap called Potiphar. Of course, we all know that he was lied about by Potiphar's wife and thrown in jail again, or thrown in jail, sorry, the first time. But even there, God blessed him, because no matter where he was, he always served the Lord. He was released later at Pharaoh's command after interpreting a couple of dreams. We know the baker was he was hanged, and the cupbearer, Pharaoh's cupbearer, was released, and Joseph said, "Don't forget me down here. Remember what I did for you." Of course, it was a little while later when Pharaoh had the dreams about the sheaves of corn, the thin sheaves and the big fat sheaves, and the thin cattle and the big fat cattle. And Pharaoh says, "I have no idea what's going on. Is there anybody that knows how to interpret dreams?" And came back to the cupbearer. And of course, Joseph went from being the lowest of the low in jail, still blessed by God, to being the most important man in the country. Pharaoh gave him his ring and his cloak, and it's interesting to note that he ended up married to, I think it was a connection to Potiphar as well on top of that. So there you go, the Lord has a way of working things out. And what actually happened was, Joseph told Pharaoh that there were going to be 7 years of a huge amount of food being grown in the land, but that would be followed by 7 years of a huge famine. And the 7 years of famine would eat up all the goodness of the 7 years of plenty. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, "Look out, a wise man that can take control of the country's resources and get ready for the famine." And Pharaoh said, "Well, who's wiser than you?" That's when he put his ring on his finger, cloak on his back, put him on his horse and said, "Of everything that goes on in the land, you're going to be in charge of it. There's only one person who's more powerful than you, and that's me." And I think Joseph pretty much had a free hand to do whatever he wanted. But he still served God even as he served Pharaoh. You see his name being used a lot here. Talks about difficult times. During the years of plenty, Joseph went round and gathered up all the plenty that the people didn't have space to store. The land was producing so much food. And he built huge barns and he put thousands of tons of grain and whatever else into the barns. And we see here the start of the famine and the people coming to Joseph and say, "We're out of bread." He says, "Well, give me your cattle." And they give him the horses and all of the beasts, and he gives them bread for a year. And then he comes again and the next year and he says, "We're out of food again." And he says, "Give me your lands." And they give him the lands and he feeds them and themselves. And they come again and they say, "We have nothing. We don't even have ourselves to give." And Joseph says, "From here on in, you will give a fifth of everything that you produce to Pharaoh, because he owns you lock, stock and barrel." The only people that got away with nothing under this regime, of course, were the pagan church of the day. And they ended up free. So Pharaoh owned everything. And all because one man obeyed the Lord, no matter his circumstances. And that is worth remembering. No matter your circumstances, you need to obey the Lord. Even if you just feel like wringing somebody's neck or twisting their head until it rolls off and kicking it down the street, we are to obey the Lord. Whenever he has us in the top of the world, we are to obey the Lord. Whenever we're down, maybe under the feet of whomever, the jackboot of whomever, we are still to obey the Lord. We know, of course, how things progressed from here. There came a time whenever the law of the land didn't recognize the children of Israel as anything more than hangers-on, as a labor resource. And the Bible says later on that there arose up a Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph and didn't know of the great deliverance and of the great riches that he brought to Egypt. And they started to go hard on the children of Israel. And I know that the Lord toughened up the children of Israel for their 40 years in the wilderness and for all the battles that they would have to fight when they came into the promised land. But he even got around to murdering their little babies, ordering the people of the land to kill their little babies, and ordering the two midwives. Does anybody know the names of the two midwives?
Fatima and
Shifra. That's it, Shifra and Pua. The Lord said they'd be remembered forever, and here we are, thousands of years later, and we're still talking about their bravery in standing against Joseph. We remember the 10 plagues. Well, we remember that there were 10 plagues. There were frogs and flies and water turning to blood and hail like fire and stuff running along the ground and darkness. And I'm sure I'm 3 or 4 short there, but we remember the last one most of all. The one that the first 9 really broke Israel's riches, broke their ability to feed themselves. The last one really broke their spirits, broke their hearts. Whenever the Lord sent the destroyer. That's where we get the song, I Will Pass Over You. Is that the name of it? I Will Pass Over. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, because we know that the Lord instructed people that believed in him to put the blood on the doorposts and lintel, so that when the destroyer went over, he would not enter in and would not take the firstborn in that house. Egypt never recovered. He destroyed their armies shortly afterwards when they pursued the children of Israel. He destroyed them in the Red Sea. And like so many others, they took great advantage of God's blessings whenever things were going well for them. And then whenever they thought that they didn't need God anymore, that they had gotten to where they were, they forgot God and started penalizing the very people that had made their country great. So, just remember that everyone that trusted and obeyed the Lord was delivered, and everyone that didn't lost their lives in the Red Sea, lost their lives in the wilderness, lost their lives due to old age, to war and disease. But everyone that trusted in the Lord was delivered. I was driving through the town this past little while. Sometimes Monica and I would call in at the Golden Arches restaurant, and we would get for free a black coffee and a double espresso, and Monica will sip that as we have a wee drive around the town just to see if much has changed. Years ago, my dad used to call Portadown Tin Town, because right the way down the middle of the town, there'd be 2 walls of steel shutters. There was literally a wall of steel the whole length of Portadown Town Centre. But I noticed the same in Derry. All the way up Carlisle Road, all the way down Shipkey Street, and even along the Strand Road. Places that used to be hustling and bustling with business and people is all gone. Now there's a lot of them, I am glad, are all gone. And I'm talking about the pubs and the nightclubs. I hope and pray they never open back up. But I got to thinking about how much of what's going on in our country right now is just like Pharaoh's world from back in the days of the end of Genesis. We're quite literally in the middle of a plague, a famine in a sense of security. An overabundance of fear, and certainly a famine of the preaching and the believing on what? God's word, of course. A famine of good Christian company. A famine of common sense. We live in a time when the government has quite literally taken control of everything and destroyed that which it couldn't take control of. And this reminded me so much of the way that Pharaoh treated his own citizens. Hook by crook, year by year, he took everything from them, even to the very ownership of their own lives. Now, I know our governments have been doing that for years, and I'm not saying we shouldn't pay our taxes, but at least here the government was only asking for 20%. I think, and our country's looking for 25%, and then another 3 or 4% national insurance, and who knows what else we're paying on that. But the similarities were so stark, were so just there. And then we have, of course, the people crying to the government, give us bread. Just like the people cried to Pharaoh's government, we have people crying to our government, feed us. Help us through this time. And of course, we know about the stimulus checks and things like that. But I have to tell you, folks, the price of everything is going to go up. And so many think that they're doing okay with those checks. I don't know how much the checks are. I didn't get one. The government obviously doesn't think that the pastor in Derry needs stimulating. Or maybe they think we get stimulated enough without them giving us money to boot. But the cost of everything is going to go up to pay that back. And it cost these people a fifth of everything they were going to do for the rest of their lives. We're going to end up paying for this for many years to come. And it just seems to go on and on and on. Here we are in probably one of the smallest countries in the world, Northern Ireland, or a bit of the smallest countries in the world. And yes, we have had also the forcing of killing of little children on our hands. Do you know what? You could read that out today and it would be almost a list of things that's happening in the world today. And I was going to say it's interesting, it's worrisome, it's concerning. If you don't have your eyes on the Lord, it'll be a time of great fear. But it is a time that the Lord said would come. And that's why he gave his life on the cross, so that whosoever should repent and believe, he would give them the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you are marked. You are sealed until the day of redemption. Amen. It's not because he thought it would be good crack. It's because we need it. When we even go into Tesco's, in quotes, and we had a beef with Tesco's a few years back about the content of their magazine racks and the filth that's on it. But even on so-called ordinary magazines, there's naked bodies. And people don't need to be looking at that. Instead of people looking to better themselves, they're looking to give themselves a new sensation or pleasure themselves by looking at that filth. I want for you to know, even in this time of quickly changing rules and regulations, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think Christy mentioned this, a little bit of this on Sunday evening. Whenever the rules change, quite literally day by day, whenever they say one thing one day and another the next day, goodness, it even talks about, I think it's in Daniel, about men changing the times and changing the rules of how things work. And they change so quickly, people's getting whiplash from them going one way one day and another way the next day. And that does not sit well with folks. We work better with routine. I think I maybe mentioned this not very long ago. It's always nice to get a new gadget. Anybody wants to give me one, I'll feel nice about it. It's nice to get a new gadget, or a new toy, or a new tool, or a new car, or a house, or shoes, or jacket, or what. It's nice to get things like that, but it's not nice when the things that you depend upon, the things that you need, are suddenly whipped out from under your feet. And that is why we need to keep walking with the Lord. Remember what happened at the end of this. The people that trusted in God were delivered. And God's the same. The same God that looked down over the children of Israel when the Egyptians persecuted them for 400 years is the same God that looks down upon us now. The same God that delivered the children of Israel from the Egyptians so many times and then from all of their enemies until they got to the promised land is still the same God that will deliver you today, right now in fact, if you trust him with your soul. If you tell him you're sorry for your sins and mean it from the bottom of your heart, Romans 10 tells us that if you confess with your lips the Lord Jesus, if you ask him and you believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you trust him, that's it. He'll save you. Like that.
Amen.
Not the job of a lifetime. It's not a course that you take. It's a place that you turn up, the foot of the cross, and you throw your all at the foot of the cross. You turn away from your sin and you turn to Jesus, and he becomes right then your Savior. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You, friend, are saved until the day that you stand in front of God, forever his child. That's why we need to keep walking with the Lord. I know many times you hear these, and to be quite honest, it's a thing I'm not that keen on as a phrase, is inviting Jesus into your heart. Because a lot of people try to invite Jesus into their heart, but they never turf the sin out. They don't give Jesus any room. It's almost like Jesus is coming in and there's another no room at the inn sign on their hearts because they're still wanting to hold on to their sin, but they think it might be a good idea to hedge their bets and get saved. We need to turn away from those things. Those things are being used to destroy people, to destroy minds, to destroy bodies, to destroy finances, to destroy families. The music, the stuff we watch on TV, the things that we get up to on the internet, what we do when the curtains are pulled or what we're doing on the streets at night, those things, they're not good times. They're actually destroying us as a creature. Mind, body and soul. We need to walk with God. We need to do what the children of Israel did, at least some of them did, and trust God. We need to pray to God. We need to read about God. We need to talk to God. And we need to obey God. There has never been a time when souls are in as much danger as they are right now. I have a question. About a year ago, we started solo services. It's like solo board games. Games are always better with more people. And so are services. And at least 2 or 3 weeks of the services, I remember making a mention of great people have had everything that they put their faith in taken away. Maybe they'll realize they need Jesus. You would think they would. Oh no, the pubs have failed us. Oh no, they... It's funny, the off-licenses still got to stay open. The nightclubs have failed us. Oh no, the shops have failed us. The toy shops have failed us. The phone shops have failed us. The computer shops have failed us. What are we going to do? There's nothing left in our lives. The mental problems are up through the roof. And people still don't come to God. Goodness. We need to make a point, turning up at the foot of the cross. But Pastor, I'm saved already. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you seeing clearly? Do you see things the way they really are, or do you see men as trees walking? Do you remember that man? The blind man that Jesus, I can't remember whether he made clay and put it in his eyes. No, I don't think he did that one. I think he maybe spat in his eyes and says, well, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees walking. That's me, the way I used to be in primary school, squinting at the board. Because I didn't wear glasses. So he touched him again, and what happened? I see clearly now. Lost souls need to turn up at the foot of the cross to get saved, but also us saved souls need to turn up at the foot of the cross, because sometimes there's things get in the way of us seeing clearly. And we need another wee touch from Jesus. And whether that takes the form of making sure, and again, I know there's people that can't be in church, but whether that takes the form of making sure you're in church when you're supposed to be in church, making sure you're doing your best to sing and praise the Lord at every opportunity, making sure you take time to pray for souls, or committing a portion of God's word to your memory, or sharing the gospel, whatever it is that the Lord has called you to do, making sure you do it. Because I can guarantee you, the people are broken. Spirits are broken. Many minds are broken. I am almost certain most of our government's heads are broken too. Or maybe they should be. Maybe they could do with a slap. They don't know whether they're coming or going. The only one in this world that'll keep you right is Jesus Christ. For 6,000 years, the word of God's never changed. Never changed. He still says it's wrong to steal and kill and lie. He still says it's wrong to not be in church when you can be in church. He still says it's wrong to take the Lord's name in vain. He still says it's wrong to be involved in immoral relationships. And if you want the T's crossed and I's dotted for that, it means in an adulterous relationship, a homosexual relationship, or a lesbian relationship, or a relationship with animals. It's still wrong. And no matter how people want to pretty sin up, it's still sin in God's eyes. And there's a reason why the fabric of our society is rotten away, because our society is rotting away. And like every great society on the brink of destruction, it always rots from the inside out. Mm-hmm. We haven't been destroyed by a more powerful army, have we? They tried twice. We haven't been destroyed by a mighty plague. We have been destroyed by bad teaching and paganism. And if we don't stand up, you know what? 2, 4, 6, 8. There's 10 people here. Does anyone recall to mind the salvation of Sodom and Gomorrah? Does anyone remember the salvation of Sodom and Gomorrah? There's a good reason for that. Because Sodom and Gomorrah was condemned and destroyed because there weren't 10 righteous people in the town. I'm not saying we are the only 10 righteous people in Derry. I'm sure some days it feels like it whenever you're working with people and dealing with people. There are more saved people than us in Derry. But I can't live for them. And they can't live for me. We need to trust in the Lord. Not just for salvation, but also for the rest of this life. I remember going to, I think it was a hospital appointment in Limavady. And I was walking from the far end of the car park into the hospital. And the Lord said to me, there's a fella sitting in his car. Go and give him a gospel tract. And I thought, right. He said, I'll do it anyway. I'll give him a gospel tract. He says, there's something for you to read whilst you're putting in your time in the car park. And he said, thank you very much. I remember walking through Belfast. And there was a guy about the height of Norman. And 2 or 3 times wider than him. With tattoos and army fatigues. And he had Satan's illegitimate children tattooed across his forehead that the Lord said, go and give that guy a gospel track. I said, you've got to be joking. And I wriggled and I evaded. And whenever he stepped out of my way, I said, if I ever see him again, Lord, I'll give him a gospel tract. So he might be this modern day flash hero because he zipped down one street across and back up the next street and ended up in front of me again. And I went to walk on and the Lord said, you promised me. And I said, okay. And I thought, right, you know the way you sort of brace yourself for an incoming? Standing to one side a wee bit, smaller target. With my hands on the keys. Anybody that knows anything knows why. And I said to this guy, there's a wee gospel track for you. And I was expecting, you know, a barrage of profanity and this, that and the other. And you know what he said? He said, mate, I'm just not interested. And I said, well, that's fine, but you know what? I'm going to leave a couple there because God has really put it in my heart to